and speak that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I've often said I wished I could deliver it the way God gives it. But this morning, if you'll pray for me for the next little bit, I'm not going to hold you long, yet being Father's Day, I know that many of you mothers and children are going to take your father out for a big steak dinner. And my goal is to get you out before First Baptist gets there. Each generation is responsible. I don't say that lightly. Each generation is responsible for teaching and training the next generation. If the next generation fails, can I tell you that it's our fault? As Psalms 127:4 says, as an arrow in the hand of the mighty man, so are the children of our youth. I would say this morning that it is my goal as your pastor to energize you today, to invest in the next generation. I would say this morning that my heart is burdened. And the reason that my heart is burdened is that I feel such a heaviness. A heaviness to prepare the next generation to get grounded and to get rooted in the truth. Why? That they may be able to stand in the last days. Can I tell you this morning, this is not a Father's Day message in one way, but yet it is in another way. Our sons and daughters need us. They need us to show them how to live a godly life. So we have a great responsibility. I'm reminded this morning of Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1:14, it says, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Well, if you just read that, don't go on, you don't get the full message of this. In just a few verses later, we find that Paul tells Timothy that as part of his guarding to entrust to faithful men who has been entrusted to him. This is some good study for you to look at this week. In other words, what I'm saying is this, that part of that entrusting is teaching. Teaching them to pass on the same things that had been taught to them. Timothy had a grandmother who had taught him well. He had mentors like Paul who taught him well. And Paul is talking to Timothy and he's showing him the importance of passing it on to the next generation. The same thing that your grandmother taught you. The same thing that I have taught you. He's saying, Timothy, you need to pass it on to the next generation. In 2 Timothy 2 and 2, we find. And it says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So we understand this morning that the church has a great responsibility. Sunday school teachers, leaders, we have a great responsibility. You see, in Luke 1 and verse 50, it says, and His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. Now we understand that that word fear is in the meaning of respecting God, reverencing God. So we understand that it's our responsibility as church leaders and fathers and mothers to teach our children to respect God, to reverence Him for who He is. I've heard the saying, and I've used it in this pulpit many times, parents who said they lost their children when they became 16. No. We don't lose them when they become 16. We lose them way before then. And I hope that this morning that you will discern the Spirit that how God has dealt with me about this and such a responsibility that we have, that we leave this building today energized to become godly men and women that can teach the next generation and get them in the right direction. In Psalms 1 and 45 and 4, it says, one generation shall commend your work to another. In other words, we're passing it on to the next generation, and the next generation has the responsibility of passing it on to the next generation. The one generation will commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Then we find in Psalms 105, and I'm trying to just kind of build a good foundation for what I'm about to say. It says, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And His faithfulness is to all generation. The same God that was faithful to Grandpa is the same God that's going to be faithful to me and is going to be faithful to the next generation. But we have a responsibility. In Genesis 22 and 8, it says, and your offspring shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed His voice. You see, it's important to you and I as those figures that, you know, for the next generation, that we become faithful to God, that we obey Him, because we're handing that down to the next generation. But I'm here to tell you that the blessings that you walk in, your children can walk in those blessings also. But the problem is, the curses that you walk in are the same curses that you hand down to the next generation. I'm preaching good. Don't shout me down while I'm preaching. You see, I believe in the blessings of the Lord. But as much as I believe in the blessings of the Lord, I also believe that there's curses that we need to shun and there's curses that we need to break. We don't need to hand down the curses to the next generation. We need to man up and deal with them things now. We don't hand them down to the next generation. But I'm here to tell you that you can walk in the blessings of the Lord and you can hand those blessings down to your children and your children can hand them down to their children. Then in Proverbs 22 and 6, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, that when he's old, he will not depart from it. See, that's a great responsibility that falls upon us as parents. Somebody said, well, I've done pretty good. I got up early enough to get them on the church bus and get them to church. Well, you might have done pretty good, but you've not done real good. Amen? So you understand that we live in a day that if we're going to reach this generation and this generation is going to hand it down to the next generation, then we have to train them. We have to teach them. You see, there was a time, and I don't need to get started on this because it's Father's Day and that might linger on a little bit. But there was a time that, you know, you didn't have to worry about the school. But now we live in a day, and how many know we're living in the last days? Amen. You got to guard what's being taught to those children, so we can't expect the school system to do that. We can't expect the church to take all that responsibility. We have a responsibility as parents to teach them, to train them. And we can hold on to that promise that when they are old, they will not depart from it. I don't know about you. I believe we ought to claim this next generation for God. Devil, you can't have them. You can't have our children. You can't have our grandchildren. Amen. They're going to walk in the same blessings that we're walking in. Amen. But we understand that we're living in the last days. Now, I don't want to throw you off, you know, because sometimes we know we're preaching right down this line and we'll dart off this way and they're still going that way. But, amen, slow down just for a minute because we're fixing to dart in another direction. I want to bring your attention and I want to focus on this for just a little bit. What is your children's generation going to see? And in asking that question, I want to also, you know, linger here just a moment in the things that they're going to see in their generation. Have we taught them well enough to be able to stand their ground? Let me put it this way. Have you put the Word of God into your children enough that if, you know, the government took our Bibles away from us, would they have enough Word in them to know the truth? Proverbs 23 and 23, this week as I was reading it, and I time wouldn't allow me to share with you everything that I drew from that verse. But it says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. I want to tell you that scripture is loaded. Because it has so much meaning in that scripture to you and I as a generation and what we're handing down to the next generation. I read it from the New Living Translation. I'm going to read it to you because I don't, you know, some people won't very, very far, but sometimes you need to read it from another translation to be able to understand the full meaning to help you. Amen. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to do that, but yet you'll go to a commentary and run with it as that's the truth. I didn't say that, did I? Gary, I got mixed up with Gary's notes. I'm sorry. But the Living Translation says, get the truth and never sell it. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I was taught the truth. Amen? Somebody help me preach up here just for a moment. Amen? You see, you ought to be thankful that you had a grandmother that prayed for you. You ought to be thankful that you had a granddaddy that studied the Word of God and quoted Scriptures to you. You ought to be thankful that you had a daddy that loved you, that steered you in the right direction, that taught you the truth. Get the truth and never sell it. I don't know about you, I've made up my mind, I'm not selling out. A generation that's following me, I can't afford to sell out. So he said, get the truth and never sell it. Also get wisdom, get discipline, and get good judgment. Boy, there's a message. Some of you preachers ought to dig into that. There's three messages right there. But I want you to understand, I want to put this in its context. Because so often, you know, we'll pull the Scripture out and we don't really put it in the context of where it goes. In its context, we understand that it's about raising up the next generation to stand for the truth. Is it all right I get mean for just a moment? I'm still that loving, good-looking pastor you've had all these years, but can I not just get mean for just a minute? Thank you, Sister D'Arc. You're the only one. You see, there was a day when you stood for Christ and church people went through this. I mean, if you believe the full gospel, I'm talking about the full gospel, I mean, they'd throw rotten eggs at you. Now, here's the problem. We get offended too easy. We're sitting on our padded pews. I'm preaching good, just stay with me. And I'm blessed, my children are blessed, I'm the head, not the tail, and all this is fine and dandy. But I want to tell you, what would happen to you if persecution, well, you know, than some of these foreign countries and what they're dealing with, what would happen at the family worship center if we dealt with that kind of persecution? I imagine the first thing we'd have to do is take some of these padded seats out. But see, we're blessed. We're blessed beyond measure. But I want to know without a shadow of doubt that I'm into this thing, swim, sink, or drown, no matter what I face, no matter what I go through, I refuse to sell out. I will not sell the truth. We live in a day. People have itching ears. I mean, they'll get mad at you for preaching the truth. But let me warn you that if you stick around here long enough, we believe in the whole counsel of the Word of God. And somewhere down the road, you're going to get offended. Because it may be one Sunday, but we may be on something else the next Sunday. We may be telling you how to get the curse broke and get into sweetness the next Sunday. Anybody with me? Or anybody believes this is the Word of God? I mean, you're standing on the Word of God. You're teaching your children the Word of God. So we understand that he's talking about raising up the next generation to stand for the truth. Verse 17. Speaking to the youth, he says, don't envy sinners. Now I want to stop right there. It's Sometimes it's hard when you're doing everything you know to do. You look around and that sinner is prospering in everything they do. Get real with me. Some of you, you know, you're looking awful religious now, but you've been there. Amen. You've looked around. You say, I come to church. I pay my tithes. I even come on Wednesday night. And my neighbor down the street never goes to church. Amen. But look at him. He's prospering in everything he's doing. But I'm here to tell you the table is going to turn one day and you're going to be proud that you're on this side instead of that side. So don't envy sinners. But always continue to fear the Lord. And that's in verse 17. So it's important that we teach the younger generation to respect, reverence God, to fear God, right? Then he says in verse 18, it says to the younger generation, you will be rewarded for this. Your hope will not be disappointed. Then let's look at verse 19. It says, my child, listen and be wise. Keep your hearts on the right course. See, I'm telling you how to bless the next generation that they can bless the next generation. Keep them on the right course. Then go down to verse 22. It tells the younger generations to listen to their fathers. All right, there's a message. Did you hear me? Listen to your fathers who gave you life. My daughter, I found out just about a month ago, she hated this saying. Bringing her up, I said, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. I didn't know that really bothered her until her husband told me about a month ago. That really bothered her. But anybody, look at verse 22. He said, the father gave you life. Listen to him. If there's anything that I could do that I failed when I was younger, it was to listen to my daddy. Why? Because I thought he was out of date. I thought, my goodness, daddy, get in the real world. I mean, he's trying to teach me things, but I wasn't listening to him because I didn't think he was in the real world that I was living in. There's one thing that he taught me. He said, one day you're going to squeal them tires out. Amen. And daddy's not buying the tires you are. I found out he was telling me the truth. So he said, listen to your father and don't despise your mother when she is old. Verse 23. He says, the father of the godly children is a cause for joy. What pleasure do you have in children who are wise? Then go down to verse 25 and 26, and we still lay the foundation. We're going to get to the message here in a minute. He says, so give your fathers and mother joy. May she who gave birth be happy. Oh, my son, give me your heart. May your eyes take delight in following my ways. Then he brings it all the way down to verse 23, and I skipped some verses. Go back and look at it after the service or tonight when you have some alone time. He said in verse 23, in all of its context, he said, get the truth and never sell it. Also get wisdom, discipline, and good judgment. The next few minutes, I'm going to say some things that's very important that you get. The younger generation needs to get this. Your battle in the last days will be a battle to defend the truth. Oh, we're so blessed. We can come to church and Gary gets up here and he gets in a big way and does that helicopter thing and then he hits us with the truth and boy, it stung like everything and we just love it. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, we're blessed here at the family worship. I just open up the Bible and just preach, and you don't throw rotten eggs at me, stone me, or nothing. And some of you act like you love it. You'll just grin and smile. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But I'm going to tell you, and I want to give you a warning. As time goes on, your battle, this next generation, they need to understand their battle in the last day will be a battle to defend the truth. Pilate asks the question, what is truth? I want to know that this next generation, Sunday school teachers, you listen to me, nursery workers, and I wish they was all in here. If there's anything that you need to do in these last days, you need to get the truth in these kids. Amen. Because they're going to face a battle in defending the truth. So Pilate asked, what is truth? So the truth is that in the last days, you will be pressured. Listen close. The last days, you will be pressured to compromise to fit into a culture that has lost its morals. You know, I like to fit in. It bothers me when I walk up and some of you talking and you quit talking. Because I know who you're talking about. But you know what I'm trying to say. You know, the next generation coming up, you know, they want to fit in. But as we get toward the latter part, and I'm going to talk about that just in a few minutes. But as we get in, they're going to want to fit in so bad. But you're going to be pressured to compromise to fit into a culture that has lost its morals. And you hear me and hear me right. The spirit of the Antichrist is already at work. If you would have told me a few years ago that I would deal with the things that I deal with in ministry as I deal with now, I would not have believed it. But yet, we're living in the last days. Now, if you will give me your attention, I'm talking about your full attention. If I see you looking around, I'm going to add 5 minutes for everyone I see. But if you'll give me your full attention, I promise you, I won't do like Gary and Dylan and Matt. I mean, I won't make a promise and just preach on, you know. But if you give me your full attention, I can get through with this and I can go home and know that I have obeyed the Lord, that I have delivered what God gave me. So give me your full attention just for the next few minutes. 2 Timothy 3. Paul says to Timothy, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days will be perilous times. What's that mean? He says, it's going to be difficult times. I got to know that I've taught my children enough of the Word of God to be able to stand on the truth in difficult times. Then verse 2, it says, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful, they'll be proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. And listen to the last part. They will consider nothing sacred. Now I'm reading this to you out of another translation. Most of you got King James Version. Stay with me because I want to drive this home. Verse 3 says, they will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others, have no self-control. And listen to the last part. They will be cruel and will hate what is good. Did you get that? Cruel and hate what is good. Are we not seeing that right now? I mean, we're seeing it already. Can you imagine what my grandkids are going to face and what they're going to see? Verse 4. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, love pleasure rather than God. Oh, do we not see that right now? Amen. Pleasure more than God. Then verse 5 says, they will act religious, but they'll reject the power that could make them godly. I feel a mean streak. But I don't have to be mean. Paul was already mean for me. He said, stay away from people like this. In other words, don't pattern your life after them. He's talking about the last days. Now, in landing this plane, the first time I'm going to try to land, the wing is going to be a little low on the right side. I'm going to have to go back up and come back and try again. Had to give me 10 more minutes. Matthew 24 and 10 is already being fulfilled right before our eyes. It says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. I've never seen a day when it's so easy to offend somebody. I mean, as good looking as your pastor is, and I mean, he, DeKalb County, best pastor in DeKalb County, that's what they said. But people get offended at me, and I don't even know it. I've had people apologize to me and said, I got offended to you about a year ago, and I'm sorry for it. And I didn't even know it. But we live in a day that it is so easy for people to get offended. Can I declare unto you this morning that the day needs to change your life. From this day forward, I'm not going to get offended so easy. I'm going to take no offense. I tried it last night with this woman right here. It worked. She was staying with her mother. I was at home. Take no offense. People get offended at everything. Fulfillment of the Scripture. If you stand for what's right, it's going to offend people. If you're pleasing everybody, I'm worried about you. Amen? I'm fixing to lose some of you, so we'll see you Wednesday night. Our president ran off the slogan, Make America Great Again. Got it on the sign out here. But can you believe that offends people? Make America great again? Man, anybody in their right mind, that should not offend anybody. Because this America that we live in today is what we're giving down to our grandchildren, our children, our grandchildren. Amen? Some of you need to think about what they're going to face, what they're going to deal with. My Lord, I take a pocket knife to school. When I got old enough to drive, I had gun racks in the back of my pickup truck. Had a gun in the back of it, hanging in. Some of you remember, some of you don't. Hey, amen. We had them gun racks in our truck, and we had my shotgun. We didn't worry about that. Me and my cousin would get in a fight, and our coach would take us in the gym, put boxing gloves on us. My cousin liked to beat the stuffings out of my head one day. I thought I had this thing figured, but you got to do something, you know, with boxing gloves. It's different, amen. And that's why I'm off. That's why I'm the way I am. Oh, if our children could be raised up in that kind of environment. But listen to me. You wear a t-shirt, a cap, "Make America Great Again," you may be a target of verbal assault. I wish I could tell you that it's going to get better, but it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Because they'll find fault with you. But I'm here to tell you, I believe it's time for the men and women in America, the Christians, to stand up and make up their mind that we're going to hand something down to our children and our grandchildren. We're going to stand for truth. We're not going to sell it. We're going to stand for it. I'm almost 62. Well, I'm 62. Almost 63. Do it that way. She caught me last month. I've seen America at its best. I've seen America when it wasn't the way it is now. I seen America when you could go to the polls and you could vote no matter what party they was. And you could vote and go home and feel good because you would vote for that individual. We don't live in that day anymore. But I've seen America when it was great. We were a sinful nation, but we were not an evil nation as we are right now. As you're standing, people have come out of the woodwork to defend children that are being deported because their parents are here illegal. Yet we have become so evil that we kill babies. You see, the safest place for some of them is to go back to their country. And what we're seeing in our nation today, what will our children, grandchildren see? They will see our religious freedom took away from them. I'm talking about what our children, grandchildren are going to see. They'll see our religious freedom taken away. If a preacher preaches against sin, it'll be classified as a hate crime. Some of you that have studied the Word of God, can I get a witness? You're going to see difficult times. They're going to see Christians who refuse to follow the culture that we're headed to. They're going to see them attacked as racists, bigots, hate mongers. And I want to say something that should stir you as parents. Kids as early as kindergarten are going to be taught that they may not be the gender that they were born. I'm talking about what the next generation is going to see. Why are you doing this, Pastor? Because I want to stir you. Because, Daddy, you got a responsibility. Mama, you got a responsibility. They're going to live in a time that all forms of biblical Christian teaching is going to be banded from a public setting. They're going to live in a time that ministers are going to be forced. They're going to be forced to legally marry same-sex couples. Not going to get better, it's going to get worse. But I hope this morning that something I've said will energize you. Because our children are watching your life. It's not the Bible that we believe. These children are looking at your life. You know what teaches them that church is what they should be at is you being at church. They're confused. You need to be in the house of God because you are leading the next generation down the course that they need to go. I want to be a godly man. I want these people to look upon my life and see that I'm doing it right. Anybody feel the same way? As you lift up your hands, I'm going to pray a prayer over you. Father, touch every daddy. Father, touch every mama. Touch our grandparents. Lord, we're concerned about our children. We're concerned about our grandchildren. God, I pray that we will never let you down, but God, we will do our part in helping to teach them and train them. God, I pray that you would help every daddy and every mama, every parent, as the Bible says that we're the salt, the light of the world. Help us, Lord, to be that light to these young ones, to be the salt to these younger ones. God, I pray that you would help us to prepare this next generation for the things that they're going to face. Help us to know that we've given them the truth. And God, that we've sown those seeds into them. That God, that when the time comes, that they'll stand up and not sell the truth. That they'll know what truth is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.